Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 24th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. You know, revolution is seriously a bad tale to tell. We don't want a revolution. We do want a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, though. Welcome to the broadcast. I haven't been on the radio for a couple of days. We've done a couple of refeeds. I've been out of town. I have been celebrating my 29th year wedding anniversary. Been married for a long time, and what a wonderful blessing it is. Anyway, so took a little bit of break for that. Always worthy of our time, spending time with family. It is about God, family, country. When we talk about this stuff, folks, it's no joke. It's absolutely real to us. And so I spent a bunch of time with my wife, spent some time with my daughter who's graduating this year, my sixth child to graduate from high school. All of our children graduate in 3 years from high school, not 4 years, by the way. Kind of an interesting little tidbit. We don't believe in government schools at all. We talk about that on the broadcast. We remain true to form with regards to that as well. And so our kids are homeschooled, and then when they got old enough, we put them in a private school, absolutely private, no government money whatsoever. And our children graduate from high school in 3 years, not four. So now I've got 6 out of 8 kids graduated from high school. So that's some phenomenal news. So we celebrated our daughter's graduation. She actually graduates literally tomorrow. But there's a lot of events that precede the graduation that we attended and everything else. So that's wonderful news. And then my daughter also graduates from a thing called seminary, which many of you may have never have heard of in your life. But seminary is a religious class that members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints youth enroll in all 4 years of high school. And so it's a class every day, just like one of your school classes, Monday through Friday or whatever. And you go to seminary, and so when you get done, you've got 4 years in religious instruction, making you a minister with a certificate, a literal graduation certificate of study of the scriptures and understanding of Christian beliefs and views and doctrinal instruction and guidance and education. 4 years, so she's got that, and we went to that last night. It was a wonderful experience, an experience that really celebrates our dedication to Christianity. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints demonstrates her decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ, for her to be engaged in that ministry, to share the gospel of Christ with others by her actions, thoughts, and deeds. Anyway, just pretty cool stuff. We did that over the weekend as well. And now the news that networks refuse to use starts, I guess. And on Thursday when we were live, we had on Eldon. Eldon Stahl is his name. And he's the field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, and their wonderful magazine, TheNewAmerican.com. We also had Kirk Crosby on with Eldon. We talked about all things LibertyLocalHoneyMan.com, is Kurt's website. We talked about the group hired by Arizona Republicans to conduct an audit of the state's 2020 election results. I guess they thought the database had been destroyed, but now somebody discovered it. The weird underpinnings of that, I don't understand. They claim public officials didn't know where the database was. All I know is I believe people are still playing games with that. We talked about the Utah House and Senate have called for extraordinary sessions to pass resolutions urging the government school state school boards to ban critical race theory. Amen to that. It's a psychotic theory that is damaging for children. It's propaganda, to say the least. We also talked about Democratic Mayor Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is giving interviews solely to black or brown journalists. If you're white, do not apply to interview her. Anarchy USA, we talked about an incredible video by the John Birch Society. It's a film called Anarchy USA 1966, which documents what's happening. I mean, it couldn't be more relevant today if it tried, even though it was put together 50 years ago. Well, I'm sorry, almost 55 years ago. Wow. We also talked about Maricopa County election witness tells of shenanigans in the 2020 ballot count, the New American. That was hour one with Eldon and Kurt. Hour two is just Sam and Kurt. We talked about Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced on Wednesday that Texas had passed an abortion ban protecting all babies as soon as their heartbeat can be detected. That's great news. We need to stand for pro-life like no others, my fellow Americans. After voting on partial birth abortion ban himself, Becerra claims there's no such law. This is Biden's Health and Human Services Secretary. I guess he's been told to stop lying about things, about the fact, about abortion law. Bob Unruh with the piece, WND.com, doing a great job. We also talked about biologist and emeritus University of Oxford professor Richard Dawkins. The guy's a whack. He thinks that babies with Down syndrome or anybody with disabilities should be aborted. Drawing fire for saying Down syndrome babies should be aborted. I mean, this guy is a nutcase of all nutcases, folks. I'm telling you right now. This Richard Dawkins guy believes that anybody born with a disability makes the world a sadder place. And if they would just be aborted and then they could get pregnant again with a, quote, whole baby, then the world would be a happier place and there'd be less stress in the world and it would just be awesome. The guy is off his rocker, literally crazy. I mean, they need to put this guy in a round room. The guy's nuts on parade. Anyway, I couldn't disagree with him more. I stand for pro-life, and I would say that every baby is a precious, absolutely loved, and known by God individually, blessing to the world. That would be my statement. And God bless them, and God bless the delight that they bring to all of us. And if we just had a heart like those babies, what would the world be like? Wow. That's my comment. California churches and places of worship are finally free to worship as they please, not as Governor Gavin Newsom demands. Matt Staver doing a great job. LibertyAction.org. We also talked about Rumble, an online video sharing platform has received investments from prominent venture capitalists. So that's good news. We also talked about the five Oregon counties who want to secede Oregon and join Idaho. I guess voters in several counties, let's see, which ones are they? Lake, Grant, Baker, Sherman, and Malheur, they all approve measures to require, hey, to take steps to succeed, or to secede, I'm sorry, and to move the Idaho border further west in order to encompass those counties. I guess according to the Hill magazine, two other counties have already done so last November, Jefferson County and Union County. So now that's seven counties that want to jettison the liberal Oregon state and move to Idaho or have their counties be in the state of Idaho instead. I don't blame them. I concern a little bit when we take these wonderful places and I don't know, it's like Californians moving in. Well, they want it to really be as small town and as, you know, conservative and as we hope, or will they just try to move in and then radicalize it? Time will tell. I get the reason for their wanting to get out of Oregon. Oregon is nuts on parade. We'll talk about that as the broadcast continues to unfold today on your radio. Speaking of that, Lowell Nelson just jumped the board. CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. Welcome back, my friend. Hope you had a God, family, country-style weekend, sir.
I did. Thank you very much, Sam. Good to be with you.
Man, so much to talk about. Let's talk about this Quarter Canyon high school basketball player. He was doing great, healthy as could be, big, tough guy. And, well, what happened, sir?
Well, on April 21st, he received his first COVID gene therapy injection. He complained of neck pain the following day, and then fevers, and then incessant headaches in several days to follow that. He couldn't move his neck, really, without using his hands. I mean, he was in such pain. His pediatrician thought initially that he just had a pinched nerve in his neck or something, but because of the incessant headaches and the fevers, his mom insisted that they do a CT scan. That scan revealed 3 blood clots, 2 of them inside of his brain, 1 outside of his brain. And, you know, you remember, Sam, 2 weeks ago when we discussed Dr. Jancy Lindsay's warnings to the CDC? Well, she voiced 3 huge concerns, and one of those concerns was coagulopathy. And that's what impelled her to demand that the CDC immediately halt the production and distribution of the COVID experimental gene therapy injections. But her concern there was that either the blood fails to clot because you have so few platelets, or clotted blood fails to dissolve back into the bloodstream. My guess is that this basketball player suffered from the latter because some clotted blood failed to break down and ended up instead in his brain. Sam?
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. More in seconds. You are listening to Lowell Nelson on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live. So this poor basketball player literally got blood clots for the Coco Vax and is very sick now, Lowell?
Yeah, he's still there in the hospital. He left the ICU on May 6th. That was a couple of weeks after he got the jab, but was still in the hospital a week later, so we certainly wish him the best. But we urge parents to avoid making guinea pigs out of your children. That's my take. This experimental gene therapy really... It's never been a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. We don't know how it's going to affect human beings. I think the alternative, Sam, is to build your own immune system. Don't go to a jab to do it. Instead, you know, eat nutritious foods, get good sunshine every day, exercise regularly, get good rest. If you take care of your body, Sam, then it will take care of you. That's my take.
Amen to that. I think it's important to kind of understand that, look, folks, let's be clear. You can act like these vaccines are for sure safe and effective, but ye have no scientific proof, I say to you, and I challenge you to dispute me. They are experimental at best. They are not even vaccines. All right, and this poor kid gets a blood clot. Now, as far as I understand, there's other people that are having the same blood clots and problems. And one youth got the vaccine, got the blood clots. Father got the vaccine, got the blood clots too. So I don't know if it's a certain kind of blood that this happens to more than others. I just don't know the details. But I know this now. Here's the latest headline that goes along with your point, lol. CDC says that vaccines may lead to heart issue in the young, meaning in the young population, and more research is needed. They say the instance of myocarditis, is that how you say it? Myocarditis, or inflammation of the heart muscle, has occurred frequently enough to get the attention of the CDC. That's not a good sign either. Now, this is a second side effect we've started to document already. And we say to people, we don't know what the long-term effects of these experimental vaccines are. But look, they've only been out for a few months, and sure, a lot of people have been vaccinated. But you've already found two side effects, and you don't even know what the long-term effects are. These are not safe and effective. People are getting all kinds of illnesses, and people are dying, and they're covering up the numbers of the deaths related to this, too. This is serious, lol.
It absolutely is, Sam. You're so right on about that. They don't want these news stories out. They're not talking about them on the lamestream media. And the another important point there, Sam, is that they, Big Pharma calls these injections, this experimental gene therapy injection, they call it a vaccine. Why? Well, it's not a vaccine that contains antigens like normal, typical, historical vaccines did, but it's simply a solution. It's a recombinant messenger RNA in a cocktail of drugs that you get. And they call it a vaccine so that the big pharma manufacturers are immune from liability, because they have this agreement since 1986 when Congress made vaccine. Manufacturers unsuable. You can't sue, a vaccine manufacturer. They're not liable. They're not held accountable for any damage that might be done by their vaccines. And because of that act in 1986, if they're able to call anything a vaccine, then get it out to the public. The public cannot sue that company. So it's a nefarious, it's insidious. And, that's the reason they call these things a vaccine, but in no way, shape, or form, maybe form, because it's in a vial that you can inject, in no way is this vaccine really a vaccine. It's a cocktail of drugs and messenger RNA. It's experimental gene therapy, and we have to avoid it. Just stop. Just stop with that already. That's my take, Sam.
Well, and there's other solutions that are very effective, ivermectin being one of them, to really reduce the COVID problem. And you know what? They already say 99% plus chance you won't die even if you get COVID. But then if you use ivermectin, that chance is even reduced further big time. But they want to promote these experimental gene therapies. They want to lie and say they're a vaccine. They've got an agenda that's outside of the truth. And you can look at the way they're dealing with the vaccine death numbers to make the point. You know, they first had these tests that you took. They ran the cycles way higher than was legitimate, showing way too many positives. Dr. Fauci even highlighted this reality. Now they're changing the number of cycles in most tests so that most people appear not to have the COVID. They've been deceiving people on the numbers about how the deaths happen. In other words, if you die, if you had COVID, that's the cause of your death, whether you died of that or not. The list goes on and on. The number of flu deaths have dropped substantially. Then they claim, oh, it's because everybody's wearing masks and everybody's social distancing, so therefore that's the reason. They just make up, they're not even close to scientific lies about this all the way through. Well, now they're manipulating the numbers. Even worse, Mike Whitney writes about it. Lol.
He sure does. In this article posted at the RonPaulInstitute.org, Kit explains how the CDC is manipulating the data. They announced this policy change just about a month ago, about 3-4 weeks ago, Sam. The trick is in their reporting of what they call, quote-unquote, breakthrough infections. That is to say, people who are fully vaccinated against the SARS-CoV-2 but who get infected anyway. They're calling it a breakthrough infection. Well, COVID-19 has long been shown to be a fabricated pandemic narrative built on two key factors. Number one, false positive PCR tests manipulated by way too many amplification cycles. And number two, inflated case counts, you know, basically where they say anybody who receives a positive PCR test is a COVID case, even if the person never experiences and never has any symptoms of COVID. So those two factors are the basis on which they have fabricated this pandemic narrative. And so now the CDC comes along and changes their policy and says, well, we got to lower the number of cycles employed in the PCR test all the way from 35 to 40 down to a maximum of 28. Obviously, this is a deliberate decision to decrease the number of breakthrough infections being officially reported and recorded. Secondly, asymptomatic or mild infections will no longer be recorded as COVID cases. So these two pillar-like factors, one about the number of cycles of the PCR test, number two, the way they catalog a positive PCR test or what they call a breakthrough infection, due to the change in policy on these two factors, the number of cases is going to just drop like a rock, and so they're doing that. Why? Well, probably to show that the vaccines are effective. Of course they're doing that. And if you in other words, if you don't have any COVID symptoms, you will no longer count as a COVID case. Even if you get the PCR test and it comes back positive. So put another way, Sam, unvaccinated people will find it much easier to be diagnosed with COVID-19 than vaccinated people. That's another way to frame this debate. But basically, that's Kit Knightley's assessment of what's really going on here, why the CDC changed the policy, and what the results are going to be. It's going to make it, this COVID vaccine, make it look like it is the savior of the people. Sam?
Well, and that's the dishonest agenda going on here. They're manipulating the numbers, and everybody should be able to see this for what it is if you dig in a little bit. Now, how the CDC is manipulating the data? They're doing it in a lot of ways. We've given you some of the ways. But they're trying to prop up vaccine effectiveness. Now listen to this, because it's very strange. The headline says doctors are seeing patients with COVID-19 symptoms, but it's not COVID-19. Did you hear this one?
No, but I believe it.
Yeah, so they're saying it's not COVID-19. It's not the novel coronavirus is what they say. They say it's something else now. And they're not sure what. I find this fascinating. Herb Scribner is the author of this piece. But they say doctors in Texas are reporting seeing a number of patients who had COVID-19 symptoms, but those patients did not have COVID-19. I'll explain in just a second. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology sought hospital care in November of 2019, months before China disclosed the COVID-19 virus was loose. New details on the number of researchers affected, the timing of their illnesses, and their hospital visits add to the theory the COVID-19 virus could have escaped from the Wuhan laboratory. Dr. Anthony Fauci admits now he is not convinced the COVID-19 virus has a natural origin. China has suffered two intense earthquakes in the past 2 days, with at least nearly 3,000 foreshocks and aftershocks affecting areas across western China. Many residents in quake-hit areas of Yunnan and Qinghai provinces say they had to take rescues into their own hands, as help did not arrive soon enough. Drug overdoses killed more than 700 people in San Francisco, California in 2020, while the coronavirus pandemic, which shut down the city, killed fewer than 300. This is USA Radio News.
Recently, Facebook announced its ban on former President Trump, but promised to review the ban in 6 months. Now, Newsmax wants to know if you think Trump should be back on Facebook. Vote in Newsmax's national poll and let us know your opinion. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just seconds. Make your voice heard. We'll share poll results with the 30 million people who watch Newsmax TV. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel in America, with great recent guests like Donald Trump, Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, John Voight, Alan Dershowitz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, and so many more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. So vote now in the Newsmax poll on Facebook's Trump ban. Just text North to 39747. Let Newsmax and America know your opinion.
Members of George Floyd's family and others joined activists and citizens in Minneapolis on Sunday for a march that was one of several events planned nationwide to mark the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. Hundreds of people gathered for the rally in front of the courthouse in downtown Minneapolis, where the Chauvin trial concluded a month ago. The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas seems to be holding. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken discussed the agreement that brought an end to the 11 days of fighting on ABC's This Week.
President Biden's focus on relentless, determined, but quiet diplomacy is what got us to where we needed to be, which is to get the violence ended as quickly as possible, to stop more human suffering, and to at least put ourselves in a position to make a turn, to make a pivot, to building something more positive. That has to start now.
Last week's ceasefire came after more than 250 people were killed and hundreds more injured in the fighting between Israel and Hamas.
The ceasefire was brokered by Egyptian authorities. This is USA Radio News.
This is Lowell Nelson with the Campaign for Liberty and RonPaulInstitute.org reporting. Just before the break, we were talking about this notion of this sharp spike in cases and deaths everywhere, triggered by mass vaccination campaigns and this greedy good author here. What's his name? Mike Whitney, the author of this column posted at LouRockwell.com. was discussing why this is happening, around the world. These experimental gene therapy injections, commonly known as COVID vaccines, they're supposed to reduce the incidence of COVID infection. That's what this COVID vaccine is supposed to do. But surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, for those of us who've been following this, around the world, these experimental gene therapy injections appear to be worsening the situation. This from Forbes magazine, quote, countries with the world's highest vaccination rates, including four of the top five most vaccinated, are
here and ready now. Go. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Technical difficulties seem to plague us for some reason. We'll get Lil Nelson back here in just a second. In the meantime, though, we're talking about this situation, folks, where, you know what? Doctors are seeing patients with COVID-19 symptoms, but it's not COVID-19 doctors are explaining why there's more people with COVID-19 symptoms. Now, you put that together with how the CDC is manipulating data to prop up vaccine effectiveness, article by Kit Knightley, and you begin to understand what's going on here. They're manipulating the numbers like you wouldn't believe, ladies and gentlemen. It is a tragic tale, and the more we get into this, the more they have to lie and fudge the numbers. You know what? In the past, they've been able to get away with these conspiracies, and we haven't been able to catch them at it. I submit to you that more Americans are going to wake up to the scam, and we are catching them at their shenanigans this time, okay? This is serious, folks, serious indeed, to where Americans are starting to wake up and go, what is going on here, right? People are going, what's happening, right? Well, they say there's been an increase of upper and lower respiratory illnesses lately, as mask mandates have lifted. Yeah. Now they say if you're feeling sick, we recommend you stay home. Well, isn't that a no-brainer? Isn't that been the reality? Now, the doctors say that they're not really surprised by this. There's other viruses that might be even more prevalent than the COCO. Now, they say that there's a difference between colds, influenza, and COVID-19. But you know what? Folks, how do we win here? How do we know the truth? They're saying vaccinated people don't need to be tested anymore. They're manipulating the numbers in the tests. They're now coming back and saying, well, people have all these symptoms that may not be COVID-19. Where do you go from here with this kind of stuff, right? I mean, pretty soon they're just going to create a disaster out of this to where you can't know anything. You can't know the truth on anything. Lowell, that's where they're headed with this. And
you're exactly,
Kit Knightley's story documents it well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sam. This is the vascular disease, right? That's as opposed to the respiratory illness. The sharp rise in these cases and deaths following the mass vaccination campaigns around the world is not related to COVID, the respiratory illness, but to COVID, the vascular disease. And that's why it's so difficult. You know, when they say, you know, you didn't die from COVID, you know, in one way, they may be right. You didn't die from COVID, the respiratory disease, but you did die from COVID, the vascular disease. When you inject these spike proteins into your body, then these spike proteins that cause coagulopathy and that cause infertility and so forth, they are what's causing the blood clots and the bleeding. They are what trigger your death. And so it's a new COVID vascular disease that's killing these people. I just can't believe this, but like in Cambodia, they had zero deaths, zero COVID vaccine, COVID deaths before they began their mass vaccination campaign. And then what happened? After they began their mass vaccination campaign, then they began to have deaths. But no deaths prior to vaccination. All the deaths came afterwards. This suggests a strong correlation between fatalities that are that you can attribute to the vaccines, to these experimental gene therapy injections. And so this is absolutely imperative that we halt the production of these so-called vaccines, halt their distribution, and, you know, really take a hard look at this, folks. We need to know the long-term effects of messenger RNA gene therapy before we continue this experiment on the human population acting as guinea pigs, Sam.
Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. It's so interesting about this, too, how belligerent they are about taking the vaccine. Let me give you the headline. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, he's a doctor and a senator. He got the COVID-19 documented back last year. He said he will not be getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Why? Because he already had COVID-19. He's got natural immunity, he says. Well, they say that's not good enough. Rand says, I'm a doctor. It is good enough, and you're lying. Rand caught Fauci lying already and said, you're wearing two masks. Even though you have already received the coronavirus shot and you're playing nothing but political theater here because the shot makes you immune. And if that's true, you don't need these two masks. You're playing games for theater. And Fauci argued with him for 2 months straight. And then Fauci came out and admitted, yeah, Rand Paul's right. I was doing it because I didn't want to create inconsistency. I wanted to be consistent. Well, what he's done is, you know, created a credibility crisis for himself, this whacked out Fauci guy. And now Rand Paul's pulling even another one, saying, look, I've already got natural immunity. I don't need the vaccine. Again, Dr. Paul's right. The mainstream scientific community lying to the people. And I'm telling you, this one, they're going to get caught on as well. Because if the vaccine gives you immunity, but the natural immunity doesn't happen, then you got to ask yourself some questions. Is man above God? That's really the battle here, isn't it, Lowell?
It sure is, Sam. We are playing God when we make these experimental gene therapy injections. We're trying to edit the human genome, and that's playing God. You know, it's like man decided, well, we know better than God. We know how we can stop these viruses, and so we're just going to edit the human genome because we're smarter than God. And it's just upside down, Sam. It's totally upside down. These viruses are here on this planet for a divine purpose. And it's just like the mosquitoes we talked about a week or two ago. They're here too with a divine purpose. And it doesn't do us any favors, our human population, any favors attempting to upset that life cycle, Sam.
All right, there you have it. I find that fascinating. But you know what? This, again, proves they have this agenda. Nothing will work unless you follow their guidelines. Wear masks, social distance, get the COVID vaccine. There's nothing you can do short of that. And then once you get all that done, they still say it's not enough. Okay? That's what I find interesting. They said that, you know, would reach the end of this as soon as, and then they got caught lying to that. Fauci was wearing two masks. He had already been vaccinated. Social distancing, you couldn't do things, all the guidelines. Then the guidelines changed instantly overnight. And then what they said was, well, by golly, we got rapidly changing science. No, you don't. You got a rapidly changing political quagmire you're caught in. Well, now they're saying, your papers, please. Lowell with the details in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org doing a phenomenal job. So they're all over the place, denying the truth, lying to people, getting caught lying, manipulating the data. They have an agenda big time. Rand Paul already had the coronavirus. He's got natural immunity. They say that's not good enough. He says, I'm not taking the vaccine. I don't need it. Will that be good enough? Time will tell. He better not go to Oregon. Yeah. The state of Oregon now saying, papers, please. Lol. Papers, please. Oregon now requires proof of vaccinations, writes Jordan Shashkel, I think is how you say the name. Incredible article by Jordan talking about the fact that Oregon was not the first state to create a coronavirus vaccine passport. You know, New York was that. But Oregon, the first state to demand proof. Other states and other people and other companies and businesses are saying, we'll do it on the honor system. Not the state of Oregon. They're dipping their toe in this manipulation. They're going to see how far they can push the American people, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. They sure are. You've outlined that very nicely. And Skatstol concludes his column with two very important points, and we've made these points repeatedly on this show, but they bear repeating. Number one, there is no comprehensive trial that shows masks actually work at preventing COVID-19, and so the premise for this mask policy is absolutely false. Really, no evidence that cloth masks help to stop the spread of a submicroscopic infectious particle. In fact, Sam, there is more evidence demonstrating that masks may act as a vector for disease transmission than for stopping the COVID-19 transmission. And the second great point that he makes, that Skatstol makes at the end of his article, he says, if vaccines protect you from COVID-19, then why worry about the unvaccinated people? There is zero science behind the idea of a COVID-19 vaccine passport. And so those are the two important points he makes at the end of his article. Bottom line, Sam, it really appears that Oregon is on the path to a vaccine passport, and people there are not happy about it. You reported this last week, the fact that there's seven counties in Oregon, five in Oregon voted in favor of leaving the state of Oregon and becoming part of Idaho. And also two in the Northern California want to be part of that mix. They want to be part of Idaho because they don't want this tyrannical vaccine passport requirement coming down on top of them. So it's pretty weird that Oregon, our next door neighbor right here next to Utah and Idaho, would be thinking about a vaccine passport, but I guess their legislature, their governor, They're that tyrannical, Sam.
Well, and this just proves the agenda that they're on. They're all in lockstep for this. Why are they pushing for this with no scientific evidence? You know, Joe Biden claimed when he became president that they were going to follow the science. Now Joe Biden running around wearing masks, even though scientifically the CDC, his own agency, says not necessary. Why does Fauci keep doubling down and making all these claims when challenged by other physicians? He argues with them and literally lies to their face only to admit that they're right and he was wrong. And I mean, they're literally going down this path. And the only way they get stopped is by enough American people standing up and challenging and saying, no, this isn't right. We're not doing this. And eventually they get exposed and we get the truth. But it takes a Rand Paul to challenge Fauci on the Senate floor. It takes the American people to push back and say, no, listen, stop. This is insane. We better get involved, Lowell, or they're going to steamroll us on this. They're going to get one or two states, like a California and an Oregon. Then they're going to get a couple of businesses, say an airlines and a large supermarket, like a Walmart or somebody like that. And pretty soon that's going to take hold, and they're going to say, well, we're doing it in private business, or the states are doing it, not the feds, and they can do what they want to. They have complete latitude, and they're going to lie and push this. And unless the people dig in and put a stop to it, they're going to get steamrolled on this one. And it's going to be a tragic day, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. This idea of a vaccine passport, I like your piece last week, Ben, Truth in Media, saying we need to fight this vaccine passport tooth and nail. I mean, there's nothing more important than fighting this concept, because it just harks back to the days of, the oppression the Jews felt prior to Nazi Germany, prior to their, being escorted to the prisons in Auschwitz and other places. I mean, if you don't have your papers in order, you can't go anywhere, can't do anything, can't go to the movie theater. And these politicians, they're slick. They're going to claim they never mandated, they never required you to have a passport, a vaccine passport. But if the businesses do the dirty work in their behalf, then they won't need to. So we need to push back on this. Let's stop frequenting patronizing businesses that require, proof of vaccination. I even heard, Sam, that there's an airline, or there are countries in Europe that won't let you fly into their countries unless you have been vaccinated, received this experimental gene therapy cocktail of drugs injection. And that's very, very concerning, because they're just choking down on the people little bit by little bit. And we just, as a people, we have to push back against this, Sam.
There's no doubt about it. You mentioned Ben Swan. We highlighted his work last week. And we do from time to time, because Ben is a dear friend. Ben's right as rain, and he uses all kinds of different videos and terms to focus on the things that he's doing. And you mentioned the one we talked about last week, which is basically fight like heck against vaccine passports. Censored by YouTube. That video got censored by YouTube even. From Ben Swan, but he's right as rain about this. Now, this is kind of interesting also, what I want to point out too, Lowell, which is interesting. There's a term. It's I-C-Y-M-I. I-C-Y-M-I. So they say a semicolon, and then they say whatever they say. And it is a way, from what I understand, to kind of point people to certain news. It's a new acronym being used. So it says, a semi, fight like, quote, hell against vaccine passports. And that got censored by YouTube. So they're not even allowing us to get the word out. More and more and more shutdown. The only good news is there's a lot of people that are kind of following my lead, Lowell, and getting involved in the media and creating their own new media opportunities. We've been doing it for longer than most, but Ben Swan and Del Bigtree are working together on one. As you know, President Trump's building one. As you know, Mike Lindell is building one. There's a lot of people trying to build new media services, and I commend them for their work. But this is serious, because they're trying to shut down our very ability to even say what we think or believe. What they claim is it's fake news and you can't say that, only to find out that it is real news. Right?
Exactly. Yep. I'm so grateful for you and other alternative news sources for doing what you do. We just would be much, much worse situation today if we didn't have you and other alternative media outlets, Sam. So kudos to
Liberty
Roundtable for leading the way on this very important work, Sam.
Have you seen this ASIMI word that I'm telling you about?
Yeah, it stands for in case you missed it, right? In case you missed it. We use that. I think people use that in social media
So, yeah, in case you missed it, yeah, it's just, I think, I-C-M-Y-I. I-C-Y-M-I, in case you missed it.
Yeah, I-C-Y-M-I, in case you missed it. There you go. Anyway, very interesting, but they're starting to put that in front of a bunch of headlines now. I find that interesting they're doing that. But there you have it. All right, final story before the end of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. So much news. Never get to it all, but we'll do the best we can. This is yours truly, Lowell Nelson. Lowell?
Well, the Utah State Treasurer stepped down from his office recently, or announced that he'd be stepping down. Dave Damshin, who served there 5 or 6, 7 years, he decided to step down. And he's a Republican. And so what this means now is that the Utah Republican Party Central Committee, which is comprised of about 180 persons from all over the state, they have to select 3 nominees for the governor, and then the governor will appoint 1 of the 3. That selection will occur on Saturday, June 14, just 2 or 3 weeks away from us now, and it will be made from among 10 candidates who are running for that office. So, as a member of that committee, I've been vetting the candidates, and I've been asking them 2 very specific questions. But before I give you my question, Sam, I wanted to ask you what you would ask if you were me. What questions would you have for a candidate for the office of state treasurer here in the state of Utah? Keep in mind the state treasurer, he has a duty to manage the state's banking relationships, their cash collection, and the concentration of that cash from state agencies. He's in charge of the funding of disbursements and the reconciliation of state bank accounts. So they have investment funds, they issue bonds, they return unclaimed property. I mean, that's kind of their bailiwick. And so what questions would you have for candidates to this office, Sam?
The only thing that I would ask about would be pro-life. I want to know what we're going to do to move the needle on pro-life more than any other issue on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, Texas, Greg Abbott took the heartbeat bill to the greatest level possible. The second we detect a heartbeat, no murder. We need to move earlier than that, even for sure, and protect all babies, but it's a tremendous start. The southern states have really taken this pro-life mantra to be serious and real. They've shown their Christianity and their understanding that the whole purpose of government is life. What will you do to make sure we move the ball and shut down abortion, shut down murder in the state of Utah, and reject pro-death? That would be my question.
Well, excellent question, Sam. I totally agree with you. Now, here's the first question that I've been asking. I say something like, you know, where are you going to invest the Treasury funds given the current deterioration of the dollar, you know, so that the value of these funds is preserved? If you just stick it in the bank, of course, it's going to lose value very fast because the dollar is losing its value so very fast. So what are you going to do with the current investments? What are you going to invest in order to retain value? And typically this turns the discussion towards inflation. We talk about the Federal Reserve, gold and silver coin, and so forth. So that tends to be a fairly productive question. And then secondly, I ask about states' rights, you know, individual and local sovereignty, and you know, whether he's going to ignore some of the tyrannical demands of the state general government, or if he's going to acquiesce. So,
and I would ask my second question. I would ask my second question, kind of like your first question, which I would say this though: should the state of Utah be receiving any federal government funds? And the answer is yes. I would say why, you know, justify that. If the answer is no, I would say then what are you going to do to make sure we quit taking that money and we become an independent state? Thanks, Lowell. God save the Republic.